Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
All right, here we go on a Monday morning, a rainy morning, but glorious rain. Boy, did we need it over the weekend. Got it, a lot of it yesterday, Mark Schlereth. So you know what that sound is?
Your lawn growing?
My lawn just saying gulp, 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 thank you.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Oh,
it is awesome. I flew out to L.A., so I'm in L.A. today, and my wife gave me rain updates yesterday.
You were asking for rain updates?
Rain updates. Like, how much rain? Like, I'm always like, how much rain do you think we're getting right now? Like, can you give me it in inches?
That's right. You have your own Doppler radar set up outside.
And then I have to use my own conversion rates because, you know, because I'm a dude, right? Thank you. All right.
Wow. Well, yeah, it was great though. It was fantastic. You know, got out yesterday morning. I figured, you know, all right, Father's Day, I'm gonna put a little honest effort in the morning, get the yard prepped, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
All that, and then just kind of waited for the rain. And when the rain came, I blessed the rains.
Yes.
Down in Africa. And just sat back and enjoyed it. So,
hey, you know, it's just like Kilimanjaro rises above, like Olympus above the Serengeti.
There you go.
Keep them coming,
Toto.
Absolutely.
Keep them coming. Okay, we are off and rolling here on a Monday. Miss you guys on Friday at Sam's number 3. Thanks so much for Zach filling in. I was sort of emceeing a golf, charity golf tournament on Friday at Highlands Ranch Golf Club. So had a great time out there along with Children's Hospital. So that was a lot of fun, but good to be back. And then, I don't know if you got a chance while you were traveling yesterday. I was watching the end of that Rockies game, and you know, when you get that realization, like, oh my goodness, this thing is going to crater. This thing is going to fall apart. I can see where this is going. They're going to lose this game. They're going to blow it. I knew it was going to happen, and as I was watching it, I couldn't take my eyes away. It was like literally getting ready to watch a car wreck.
You know, I was at LAX. I landed in LAX. So I'm actually watching my son's game. He was in Northwest Arkansas. So I've actually got the app where the technology that we live with is absolutely unbelievable. I am standing waiting for bags in L.A. watching my son pitch in Northwest Arkansas. I mean, it, you know what? I don't know how they do it, Mike. It's like magic. There's sorcerers and wizards and all kinds of things that operate the internet. So I am watching that while I am getting updates on the Rockies. My wife is texting me updates on the Rockies, and she's like, oh my gosh, he just walked the first two batters. Oh my gosh. Okay, we've got one out. Oh my gosh, he gave up a hit. Oh my gosh, he just walked the guy in. Like, I am getting these as I'm watching my son, you know, pops up at the top of the video bar. So, it's time, Mike. You know, we use patience and we talk about it. It's a marathon. It is time to make some significant changes. It's time to move John Gray to the bullpen. It is time to bring somebody else up to fortify the bullpen. You know, it's time to start making some moves. That they need to do that right now. I said it a week and a half ago. Don't be surprised when all of a sudden this team is in last place, not in first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can you look? He's your buddy. We like him. But some of the decisions that Bud Black is making, look, if this was Vance Joseph or just about any other coach in town, he'd be getting ripped. And maybe it's just because the Rockies have been so bad for so long that, you know, we're just not conditioned to, you know, holding the manager accountable for, individual moves and the such. But, you know, what he's doing with this bullpen just defies common sense. He put Brian Shaw into a game yesterday in which they led. How can you do that?
It's mind-boggling.
And then, come on, we can all see what's happening with Wade Davis. He cannot throw a strike. And they don't have anybody up.
Right.
It's that same old, and it's what drives me crazy about baseball, is these time-honored, beliefs or traditions even that, well, look, if your closer starts the inning, it's his inning, win or lose. What do you mean, win or lose? When it's obvious it's coming off the rails, Get somebody up. Get somebody else in there.
And so here's the deal. It's funny because my wife is texting me like, he can't throw a strike. We need to get him out. And okay, I would ask you the same question I asked her. To who?
I don't care.
Ottavino already pitched. There's nobody that, I get it. I get what you're saying. I get the fact that he can't throw a strike. He is your closer. You figure, you had a 3-run lead. You figure he's going to figure it out. We've talked about putting Shaw in low leverage situations. Didn't they have a 5-run lead? I mean, you would think there couldn't be a lower leverage situation than having a 5 or 6-run lead. The whole thing is an absolute mess. And that's why I'm saying, all right, you did it the old school way. I admire the fact that you hung in there and that you believed in your guys and you stuck it out and, you know, you gave the good fight. It is time. It's time to make some changes. That's what I'm saying. It is time to make some changes.
Well, they got to do something because this thing is spiraling out of control. And your bullpen that you spent over $100 million on has the worst ERA in all of baseball. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And what was it? The last 7 runs that scored for the Rangers only scored on, like, 3 hits. It was ridiculous. And to your point about, well, what do you do with, you know, instead of Wade Davis, they eventually got Jeff Hoffman up. It was too little too late. But you tell me Jeff Hoffman can't at least come down and throw a strike down the middle?
Yeah.
I mean, Davis went walk, single, walk.
Right.
Walk.
Well, he got an out in there.
He did get one out
walk,
in there.
One out, single, walk.
And then game-winning single.
Yeah.
And we all saw it happening. We saw this happening. And at no point, you're just like, Bud, please, take him out. Take him out. Do something. Because we know how this is going to end, and it's going to end as one of the most it did end. It ended as the most gut-wrenching loss of the season. So, all right, we'll see. But, boy.
But let me ask you this.
Bud Black needs to come under a lot more fire for the way he's handling this bullpen. And Jeff Breidich, maybe Black's hands are being held here, but Jeff Breidich needs to man up and accept the fact that his grand design for his bullpen is blown up in his face.
Let me ask you this. Is this maybe the seminal event or the catalytic event that creates a little bit of panic over there and the event that makes them think about where they're sitting and make some changes? Because that would be where I'm at right now. It's like, it is time to make a few changes. Let's kind of get the show on the road.
Well, then it comes down to how do they view themselves? Because do they view themselves as, we need to be in the playoffs or else it is a disastrous season? Is that how they view things? Because let's face it, this has never been a franchise that has really held themselves accountable, have they?
Yeah, probably not.
You know, this is a franchise that in the past has shown the ability to sort of just kind of, you know, duck and cover and say, oh, well, wasn't our year. You know, come on out in the summer and enjoy the ballpark. You know, that kind of thing. I don't know how much they really hold themselves accountable.
Well, they are in fourth place right now, only a game and a half above San Diego. Game and a half above the Padres.
Closer to last than they are in first. Okay. Yeah, but changes need to be made. What should some of those changes be? Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. The Broncos' spring season is in the rearview mirror. The biggest takeaways, we'll tell you, coming up next.
Just to continue to establish our play style to build our library for the fall. A couple more things I'm going to share with you, but, you know, number 6 was stay healthy, and I think we lost one guy, Mount, for the year in offseason, and that's one too many.
Vance Joseph, taking a look back at the spring season, OTAs, minicamps, Mark. When you look at the 2 or 3 biggest, I guess, takeaways, things that jumped out at you from the spring season, now 6 weeks to go until training camp, what would they be?
Gosh, I think there's two things. I think first and foremost, they got a quarterback. And you cannot underestimate the value of having a guy that is in charge. And that guy, by all accounts, seems to be a great leader, seems to, you know, not be afraid to get up in people's grills a little bit, is large and in charge, so to speak. a guy that was a guy that we have that's demonstrative, you know, the guy that knows that he's running the show. And, you know, to have that kind of person that's established that can come in there and do that is something that we've seen them struggle with the last 2 years. Mike, you could sit there and say whatever you want about Paxton, whatever you want about Trevor Siemian. Nobody was ever in charge. Nobody ever took anybody by the, you know, the face mask. Nobody ever took anybody, the kind of the bull by the horn, so to speak, and was ever vocal or ever, you know, ripping somebody's butt. Well, we saw it consistently with Peyton Manning. Somebody run the wrong route or somebody didn't read the hot. How many times you see Peyton Manning cuss somebody out in practice? A bunch, right? You never saw that. So with that, you've got the opportunity and the ability to create some continuity, but more importantly than the continuity, you're going to be able to establish an identity. This is who we are. This is what we are. Then the other thing, the other big takeaway for me, Mike.
See,
was,
let me just jump in on that because yes, I think having one guy at the quarterback position matters, but I'm not as much caught up in the one voice, one leader. We got a guy in charge. It only matters to me is all that stuff only matters if he can play. All that stuff only matters if the offense produces, because if it doesn't, then him reaming out some guy for not running the right route isn't going to really resonate. What I like about the idea of one guy is that this offense that never had a chance to develop any kind of rhythm or continuity over the last couple of years. I mean, it was so ridiculous. The more I look back on the days of the decision last year, today's a Paxton day, tomorrow's a Trevor day, this is a Trevor week, next week's going to be Paxton's week,
right,
was absolutely stupid. So to me, it's more about the idea of just the continuity for the offense under one guy and the results that we'll get from that. You know, versus anything, versus right. The idea of, well, you know, this guy, one voice, one leader, all that stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, that the point is, for me, is the one voice, one leader is more about we're going to establish an identity so everybody's on the same page. And that, to me, is the biggest thing. You know, I'm such a stickler for continuity and, you know, how rhythmic offense is. And when you have no rhythm, especially when you're struggling with young guys and you have no rhythm, I mean, it's a recipe. You're not going to win. It's really difficult. So that's kind of been my biggest thing this whole offseason. And then to have the guy that is establishing that identity and then has that authority, I think that's a big thing. This, as you know, this team has been void of leadership since Peyton Manning walked out the door. Void of leadership. And that leadership, whether you like it or not, comes on the offense. A large portion of that comes from your quarterback. And it's just the way the league is designed. It's the way the league is constructed. It's because that guy is the voice of your offense. And so if that guy doesn't have some natural leadership ability, you're going to be in trouble. You're never in the crunch times, in the tough situations. That's got to be the guy that rises to the top.
More from Vance Joseph. What has he learned about himself over the last year plus?
Well, I'm a tough guy. I don't know. It's
tougher than you thought.
I think last year was a teaching moment for me. You know, when you lose, you know, that many games in a row, you know, my job is to fix it quicker. You know, and good teams don't lose, you know, 3 and 4 games in a row. So that's on me. You know, so I can do better there, and I will do better. And hopefully we don't have those kind of loose streaks again. But, you know, if we do have some adversity, it's my job to fix it quicker. You know, so, you know, what I've learned, I don't know yet, but I know I have to fix it quicker. And that's my job.
Interesting comment there. Do you believe a long losing streak, and I guess in the NFL that probably constitutes more than 3 weeks, that's on the coach?
Well, I mean, there are parts of it that are certainly on the coach.
But he just said, look, I got to stop it.
Yeah, well, he does, but that again comes down to me, Mike, is, and I think this was my second, this was going to be my second point of, are the biggest takeaways from the spring, is that Vance Joseph understands some of the things he's got to do better. Like, that whole comment to me was, we have two young quarterbacks, One's a second year, one's a third year, but this third year guy, you know, third year guy started 14 games for us, was hurt, actually played decent, but played hurt the whole season, and is only truly a second year guy because he redshirted his first year. And the point was, I let an offensive coordinator that in my mind, and I think in your mind, I think in the minds of many, create an offense that was too complicated, that was, it was just untenable. You know, the execution of that offense was not possible with the young guys that you had, and you had, and you addressed this formula that you had for winning here, and you never adhered to it. You didn't correct it. You let it go on for week after week after week after week before, finally, you know, Mike McCoy was let go. And I'm not saying Mike McCoy can't be a good coordinator or whatever, but I certainly think, you know, hindsight being 2020, the allure of all those jobs that were going to open, the allure of the Giants, the allure of being a head coach, put him in a position where he's calling plays to prove that, look, if I can do it with this seventh rounder, I can come in and I can take your team to a championship.
Do you trust Vance Joseph with a year under his belt? Do you believe he will be a better coach? However much you believed that he hurt the Broncos last year, and you can quantify that by one loss, two loss, three losses, whatever. Do they get that back this year with him and a year under his belt?
Oh, I think that he's going to be a much better coach. And I think you're going to see, you know, a better management of the football team from the sideline, from a, you know, coaching the coaches standpoint. I promise you Isaiah McKenzie's not going to get an opportunity to fumble it five times. You know, so, and he's already made a bunch of changes. You've changed, special teams coaches. You've changed a bunch of offensive coaches. So yeah, I believe that he's also, you know, gotten after a couple people, Carlos Henderson, you know, in the media. Hey man, the hammy thing, you don't get healthy, you can't get on the field, you're just not going to make this team. So I think you've already seen the makings of a guy who has been good at self-evaluation and then already put a plan in place.
We got a lot to react to for the weekend that was, and we'll do that in the Morning Brew, including something that happened in Mexico that has left me jealous. Tell you what that is next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crap thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What? Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
This is looped to shallow left, and it'll drop. Here comes the winning run. The throw to the plate is not going to get him. And the Rangers win it with four in the ninth.
Unbelievable.
I am speechless.
On two hits.
They scored their last seven runs on three hits. It's mind-boggling. It's truly mind-boggling. Right, Vance Joseph? Mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling.
AT&T Sportsnet, the Rockies bottomed out yesterday with a 13-they score 12 runs on the road and lose 13-12. You heard what Drew Goodman said. The last seven runs scoring on three hits. Mark, it's the worst loss of the season. So, after that worst loss of the season, has now dropped the Rockies three games below 500, five games out of first, in fourth place, only a game and a half ahead of the last place Padres. What do they do about it?
You know what? I'm a believer that they're going to have to make some changes in their bullpen. And maybe that starts with John Gray. Maybe it's about sending John Gray. He certainly has proven that he can't be an ace. And again, yesterday, you know, I mean, a very average at best start. Is that fair to say? Would he give up six runs? I think he profiles better in my mind as a kind of dominant fastball, with a slider. He profiles better as a reliever than he does a starter until he can develop, you know, three plus pitches, maybe one plus pitch and a couple other, plus pitches. That's the way he profiles. Five innings, six hits, six runs, one base on ball, five, five earned runs. I mean, he gets the nine strikeouts, but Mike, that to me, that profiles as a back end of your bullpen guy. So if you could come in there, and Wade Davis, I believe, will be fine. But with Ottavino, with Gray, and with Wade Davis, I think at least the back end of your bullpen is going to be shored up.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I don't mean disrespect by anybody. I know it's a two-shot penalty, and at that time, I just didn't feel like going back and forth and hitting the same shot over. I took the two-shot penalty, moved on. It's my understanding of the rules. I've had multiple times where I've wanted to do that. I just finally did.
Well, that was Phil Mickelson's explanation on what he did during the U.S. Open, something that... you've got this, what you think is kind of like a gimme putt.
Yeah.
And you step up and, you know, you don't really take any time and you just kind of take a quick stab at it and then you realize it's starting to go right and you quickly like lean in and like direct it and steer it into the cup and you're like, right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Right. He did it during the U.S. Open. Now, right. His explanation after the fact was that he knew exactly what he was doing. And yet all the reports from people who were around him, that he had no idea what the penalty was, that is this really a case of a guy that just, you know, lost his mind for a moment there?
Well, let's face it. Look at the turnaround. Look at what Ricky Fowler did. I think he was a shot of 84 on Saturday and shot a 65 on Sunday. Like, I mean, the course was playing. I mean, it was absolutely medieval on Saturday. And then, you know, they heard all the complaints from the professional golfers. They made some adjustments. And then we had a 63 and a 65, and we had some low scores yesterday. I personally, Mike, I get a lot of amateurs and a lot of people saying, well, I like watching the pros struggle. I don't.
Not like that.
I don't like watching.
No, I agree with you.
I want to see them do the things that I know that I can't do, that my golf game will not afford me. And my daughter took me a couple of years ago, to the U.S. Open, and it was eye-opening. Like what you see on television and then what you see in person, and you're right there. And golf, PGA is really cool. That's the USGA. I understand that. But the fact that you are right on top of these guys, like you are right there with them as they're hitting shots, and it's otherworldly. They're not human the way they hit golf balls. And that's what I want to see. I don't want to see them 14, 15 over. I don't want to see them shoot an 84 on a Saturday. I don't. That to me sucks. I don't like it.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Have you thought about what happens after football for you?
I think about it more now than I used to.
Yeah.
I think now I think that I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. What does that end look like? Is that 43? Is it 45?
Yeah.
Is it?
As long as I'm still loving it.
As long as you're loving it, you're going
to
do it.
Yes. As long as I'm loving the training and the preparation, willing to make the commitment.
I love Tom Brady.
Tom Brady with Oprah. Man, I don't know. Tom's getting a little weird. Is he that far away from jumping up and down on Oprah's couch?
Watch yourself.
Is he that far away? I don't know.
Watch yourself.
I'm just telling you. He's getting a little weird. But all right. So he says retirement is sooner rather than later. Why is a guy who just turned 40 and was saying for the last couple of years he was going to play to 45 now saying that retirement's sooner rather than later?
Well, I mean, I think he's just being honest. It's sooner rather than later.
Is that 42 then, or is it 45?
Because if you
still think you're going to play to 45, that's not sooner rather than later. That's getting out and saying, oh yeah, no, I eat right. I do everything right. I figured out the answers to the test. I think I can play till I'm 45. Now all of a sudden he's changing his tune. What's it all about?
I know exactly
what the answer is, by the way.
No, you.
Yes,
you
I do.
Think you know what the answer is.
I know exactly what the answer is. This is all about trying to put pressure on to get a new contract.
No.
Yes, it is. He's under contract for 2 years. He's trying to get some sort of commitment that will last beyond these next 2 years. Then you'll hear him come out and say, oh yeah, 45.
If he wants a new contract, you know what he has to do? Walk up to his dad's office and get a new contract. I mean, like, all right, so I know all the Hall of Famers go out to they go on this pilgrimage, and they did that, and Chris Carter was on this pilgrimage out to the Holy Land, right, Jerusalem, and they go all out there, and they went out there, I think, last summer or maybe the summer before, and Robert Kraft was part of this gathering. So they all went out there, and like in the middle of they're having a sit-down dinner, Tom Brady is calling Robert Kraft just to check in. How's things going? Like, oh, it's Tommy. Tommy's calling, you know. And so, I mean, if he wants a new contract, he can go to his dad. I think this has to do with Giselle.
And Giselle wants him to wrap
it up. She keeps putting pressure on him. I mean, come on. This super couple, I mean, she's worth more money than he is. Together, they've got more money than they know what to do with. And she's like, it's time. Let's just hang out and you know, raise our kids and have a good time. And occasionally I'll supermodel for you.
Well,
boom.
For him. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought for a second.
Well, that'll make you lose your train.
Next on The Morning Brew. Telemundo there, that was the call of the Mexico goal that beat Germany 1-0, and that goal and the reaction in Mexico literally set off a seismic event that was measured and registered, effectively causing a small earthquake in Mexico. And I'm jealous of that, because there is not one single event, team, whatever, that this entire country could get behind to have that unanimous of a response.
Okay, wait.
And now, I'm jealous of that.
The game was in Russia, right?
Yeah, but it was all the people watching in Mexico.
Were they watching all together?
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Were they at the
That's
stadium
all they were doing.
Watching?
No, it's all they were doing. It was,
so they were just like in the streets.
In Mexico City. Yes. Hmm.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. I'm a little bit jealous.
I want to say something snarky and funny about it, but that's just flat out amazing. By the way, right now, I got a little World Cup on in my team, Sweden. Looks like they're playing Romania. I pick Sweden.
It's feeding.
Sweden?
It's feeding.
Did you know that Sweden is not Switzerland?
It's not what?
It's not Switzerland.
No, Sweden is not Switzerland. No.
Yeah,
never has been.
I had no, are you sure they didn't change that at some point? Because I had no idea. I was like, I saw Switzerland playing the other day and I was like, all right, that's my team. And then I realized, wait a minute, Switzerland, Sweden, two different names. Sound the
Sorry, Hans, wrong
right.
guess.
So you both have S's and W's in them.
You got Sweden going. My team, Belgium. Going at 9 a.m. this morning. So I'll be very eager to see how my Belgium team does.
Right.
That'll do it for The Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning. Coming up at 6:30, we give that to you. Giving you next is the takeaways, the observations from the Broncos' spring season. And did Paxton Lynch do enough to convince you that he could be a suitable replacement if turned to? We'll get to that coming up next.
I know that I must do what's right.
Sure as yeah. Blessing those rains.
Yes.
We needed it.
Yeah, we did.
Still getting some around here. It's good.
And it's cool, too.
Humid,
nice
though.
Cool.
Humid.
Is it?
Well, like, I checked my phone this morning. 99% humidity.
Why not 100? Speaking of 99 in Toto. Huh? Huh?
Yeah, I gotcha.
99, woohoo, I can't wait anymore. Oh, 99. That's a total song too, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
It's not?
You're trying to get me in. Oh, really? Not gonna happen. Nice try. Nice try there, Mark Schlereth. I see how you work. Leftovers, takeaways, observations from Broncos, the spring season, the OTAs, the mini camps. 6 weeks now. 6 weeks, which, you know, by the way, quick tangent. This is why I'm so upset at the Rockies. The Rockies exist for one reason and one reason only. And that is to sort of bridge the time between the Broncos not doing anything. The Rockies have 6 weeks to entertain us. That's all we need from them. 6 weeks until football season starts up again. All we ask, 6 weeks, make it interesting. And how do they kick off 6 weeks of no Broncos football? By that disaster over the weekend, culminating with yesterday, the worst loss of the season.
Well, I mean, it is, are you not entertained? And by the way.
You found that entertaining?
By the way, Toto does sing 99.
All right, I thought you were trying to get me into some kind of Luft Balloons or something like that.
No, okay. That's Nina.
I know.
No. You don't know the song 99.
No,
it's
I don't.
It's embarrassing is what it is.
It's embarrassing. Right, embarrassing. It's embarrassing that I don't know, yeah. Toto 99.
Yeah.
Never heard it.
Well, of course you have. 99, can't wait anymore. 99. 99, can't wait anymore. Oh, 99.
Okay. All right.
So, okay. Ben, find that song. So
Mike, please don't.
Know it. Yeah,
please
find
don't.
It.
I don't need
find
it.
Find it.
I really don't.
Okay. News.
Yeah, no, you find that, Ben.
This is
a directive. Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, whether you are you going to do something about it? That because let's face it, if you're a Rockies fan and you can't, you know, Jeff Breidich over there. I mean, you know, we're gonna you know stay the course and all. You can't stay the course anymore. You cannot continue. Brian Shaw is either broken, he's either injured, or it's completely in his head. You know, you spent money a lot of money on Dunn. Dunn is done. And has been. I mean, so there's a lot of things going on here that you have to look at. You brought up Pounders and he got pounded. So there's a lot of issues that are going on right now. And how are you going to fix those issues? How are you going to get to the back end of your bullpen? And how are you going to make sure that your back end of your bullpen stays, somewhat fresh? You know, So, I mean, those are the questions you have to ask yourself. But as of right now, Mike, I mean, they can no longer afford to stay the course.
But they've always been a team they've always been an organization that stays the course. There's never been this isn't working. You know, heck with it. We're gonna blow it all up because we feel the urgency, the self-inflicted urgency to go out and do that in a city where baseball really mattered. And the organization, you know, had a mindset, well, like the Broncos do. I mean, you know, give the Broncos credit for this. They don't sit around. You know what I mean? If things aren't working, they at least try to change them up. The Rockies, it's like they set their course in the offseason and that's it. You know, we're gonna stick with it, which is why I find it laughable. I love your ideas. You know, send John Gray to the bullpen and reconfigure the bullpen. Mark, we're talking about the Rockies. The Rockies have this plan and they are glacial in terms of, I mean, you can turn the Titanic around quicker than you get the Rockies to alter their plan. So the notion that John Gray, the guy that they've been developing for years to be their ace, they're all of a sudden going to scrap that and put him in the bullpen as a late inning closer? No way. And this bullpen that they spent $106 million on, that all of a sudden they're going to just say, oop, that didn't work. Let's make this move and that move, this move, that move, all with the idea of trying to save the season. They won't do that. They're the stay the course Rockies. They always stay the course.
They are the captain of the Titanic, right? There are no icebergs in this water. Full steam ahead. We're going to be fine.
Right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
So it sounds good, but I think the odds of that, those kind of things happening are remote. They'll stay the course.
They probably, I just don't know. To me, at this point, you cannot stay the course. If you stay the course, you ultimately, again, you're not gonna be a playoff contender. And we're getting close to the All-Star break. So you're starting to head toward July. There is no time to stay the course. You gotta make a move. And you gotta fix it. And, you know, I don't know if that is, hey, let's put Hoffman in the starting rotation. Let's move, you know, let's move Gray into the bullpen. Is Sensatella down right now? Let's recall Sensatella. Well, I mean, you got to figure something out. And to me, you have to make some moves. I mean, we talked about not putting Shaw in a leverage situation. Yesterday in my book, what I know about baseball and mostly just through my son's life is a 5-run situation is not a leverage situation. You know, when you have a 5-run lead, that's not putting a guy in a leverage situation. It just is like, it's contagious, man. They are losing bad, and it's become somewhat, it's now a psychological thing. Like, it's in everybody's head. And they were on the road, for crying out loud.
We need somebody to come up with like a GIF or something that we can get trending where we just see that scene, with the captain of the Titanic in the movie, and we just replace his hat with a Rockies cap. He's standing behind the wheel.
No icebergs in this water. Full steam ahead.
Water's pouring in, you know. And he's just standing there like, oops, my bad. All right, you're going to clear the air.
I am going to clear the air. And you know what I'm going to clear the air on? I'm going to continue this conversation that we're having right now. And how the Rockies should take a lesson from last year's Broncos.
Ooh, okay. We'll do that coming up next.